It is time now for Minnesota Reads here on KUMD. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We are hearing so much about Victory Gardens, and we're hearing about World War II, and we're hearing about a time where the country really came together. Some of us are lucky enough to have had parents or grandparents in the Greatest Generation, and we got to hear some of those stories live and in color. Virginia Wright Peterson joins us this morning. She's written a new book called A Woman's War II, Women at Work During World War II. And before we get too far into the interview, I just want to say that Ginny and I went to high school together, so I knew her from before. Hey, Ginny, good morning. It's so good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Lisa.
I had no idea back in the day that you were going to grow up with a couple of other people that we know to become statewide, nationally recognized authors. I think that is so exciting.
Well, it's certainly a dream come true for me. I've loved stories since I was a little girl, and my mother took me to the public library. So it's been a long time coming, but I'm appreciative I can be in this position now.
Well, I went to the same library, and I read a lot of stories also, but I've always been content to be on the consumer end, and I'm just so excited when I see the name of someone I know on a book, because if it's a book, I'm excited about it anyway. Let's talk a little bit about women's contributions to the Second World War. One of the folks that reviewed your book wrote a sentence that I could hear my daughter, who is a women's studies major, saying, "The women's efforts in World War II deserve sustained attention if we're to understand the gendered mechanisms of war, too often erased by default patriarchal storytelling," which is kind of a cumbersome way of saying something we've been talking about in the show for a while. Pay attention to who is telling the stories.
Absolutely. I think we can, most of us of a certain age anyway, remember what history class was like. And it was mostly a lot of dates and men and the battlefields, if you will. And there's a whole lot more, as we're really becoming to know, that happens when we are in some sort of major conflict, some sort of national event.
One of the things that I think is so interesting about women's contributions to the Second World War is that women... Although women had always needed to be backup for men in many ways. I know my dad talked about growing up on the farm, that even though my grandfather had his stuff and my grandmother had her stuff, he could not back her up if she couldn't cook. But if he couldn't do something, she was expected to be out there driving machinery, harnessing up horses, whatever it needed to be. So women had been backing up men in a lot of ways, but for a lot of these women, they had to jump into jobs or roles that they were unfamiliar with, uncomfortable with, and yet they not only did it, they excelled. Talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. That's what was surprising to me. It wasn't just in a few fields or a few geographic areas. It was women jumped in and basically did everything. They became pilots, journalists. We know about Rosie the Riveter, but I guess I always thought those were women on California. Women were building ships in the Duluth Superior Harbor there with Globe Shipbuilding. They did the mining. They basically did everything. Sometimes they kind of chose what they did, but they went out and applied maybe to work in the huge munitions plant in New Brighton. Other times, they just assumed the job that their husband had. They literally filled in for their husband at work.
I was talking to a friend of mine who married a guy from Austin, and his family had worked for Hormel. And during the Second World War, Hormel offered women jobs at their husband's salary level in order to take care of their families. And so I don't know whether every woman was qualified or capable necessarily of doing every single job that she was perhaps being offered, but I was really touched by the way the company was really doing their part to take care of those families that they felt such a responsibility for.
Hormel is a wonderful example, and I spend quite a bit of time in the book talking about what happened in Austin during that time. Yeah, I mean, Spam and Hormel fed the front lines with Spam, and women had to go into the meatpacking plants in the butchering areas, in the somewhat in the sales force to keep things going domestically. They were in every area of that firm, and yeah, they were working side by side with men. It was amazing, and we needed that food.
Now, as we are dealing with our own sort of challenging times, women are a part of the workforce, of course, now, as they have always been. But do you have a sense, as you talk to friends, perhaps watch social media, that women are maybe still feeling a little bit overwhelmed, like still perhaps the majority of the homeschooling and some of these quote-unquote women's work things are still falling to them in addition to needing to work from home? Or are we starting to achieve a little bit more equity in terms of how families structure themselves these days?
My perception is there's a little more equity, but the challenges are somewhat the same. And you talk about the homeschooling and childcare. Childcare was a big issue during World War II when women did start to go into the workforce and men were deployed either at bases in the United States or overseas. So somebody had to take care of the children, and that became a bit of a scramble, I think somewhat to the extent that it is today. Also, women are... In some ways, they're still like the in the healthcare area. They're not now even much more on the front lines. They're in the grocery stores. So I think there's a little more equity in the places that we're finding women. But the challenges, especially for families, are an awful lot the same.
Well, and to be on the front lines of this particular situation where perhaps men were primarily on the front lines of war, women are primarily on the front lines, as you mentioned, as healthcare workers, grocery store workers, and a lot of these other essential services. What do you think that could mean, especially because some of these positions that are being considered essential now are not people who are way up the scale in terms of money, power, and influence? A lot of these people are working at many at minimum wage, many at low wages. Do you feel like there's a sense that perhaps when things get back to whatever it is they're going to get back to, that this group of either women or people altogether will be able to say, hey, we need to rethink how, you know, if I'm essential, we need to rethink how we're taking care of me and how I'm regarded in society?
I certainly hope so. It gives us another opportunity to do that, but it didn't go so well at the end of World War II, as you might know. I think there was almost a backlash to get women out of the really incredible roles that they were performing at the time. Pilots and the WASPs are my primary example of that. Women from throughout the state of Minnesota really proved themselves as pilots in a military way. They were training a lot of the male pilots at bases in the United States. They were shuttling cargo and shuttling the planes. And they, I mean, we have their flight records. They're at the Minnesota Historical Society. They were excellent, excellent pilots. But when the war came to an end and some of them wanted to continue with commercial firms, they were turned away. And they were said they could be stewardesses again or go back into the office. And that's not what they wanted. They really wanted the continuous pilots. And I'd have to say now 75, 80 years later, still, we don't see very many pilots when we fly commercially. So I'm disappointed that in certain sectors we definitely didn't make much progress. Maybe this pandemic gives us another opportunity to correct some things.
It will be interesting to see how the world shakes out. What kind of lessons, either for women or things that you observed about the women of the time as you were working on the book, did you notice that perhaps you've been thinking over these last few weeks, wow, you know, when this is, you know, this is how the country came together. This is how women or the country were able to bring the country together with this sense of shared purpose. Is there something that we could be doing now, something positive we could be doing now, maybe that we could look to the past for inspiration?
I think one of the most exciting aspects of that is really sort of being innovative, reimagining, re-engineering, you know, talking about like some of that. We're seeing some of this where factories that made one thing before during World War II, like the automakers turned around and started making planes, right? And now we're seeing some companies start making ventilators that we need, right, and kind of pivoting on that. And I think what women did, too, is to sort of like step up and be innovative. It's like, well, I haven't done this before, but I can, you know, I'm going to give this a try. Sometimes it was doing what they did do and doing it really well. And the Andrews sisters, Judy Garland, were entertainers of that time, and they did what they did best, singing and performing to help sell bonds and support the USO. But then, yeah, other women did things totally foreign to them, like becoming a riveter or a miner or helping run the railroads. So I think it's a kind of a time when things open up and there's opportunity to be creative and contribute in new ways.
I love the conversations that we've been having throughout this pandemic. Not that the pandemic, obviously, is something that we ought to be celebrating, but I love the way as we talk to guests about different topics, whether it's a book, whether it's climate change as a discussion that we had yesterday, that I keep hearing people come back to this idea of we have an opportunity to reimagine, to rebuild. We have it's kind of a little maybe a mini reset where we can go forward in a different / better way. And as the guest observed yesterday, we have proven that we can make sweeping, dramatic change pretty much on a dime, because that's what our society has had to do. So we have the capabilities of making these kinds of changes as we reimagine things a little bit differently going forward.
Absolutely. It's a major disruption, and in that there are opportunities to make real positive change.
Virginia Wright Peterson is the author of a new book called A Woman's War II, Women at Work During World War II. Ginny, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you so very, very much for taking some time for us this morning.
Thanks for having me, and you take care. Stay healthy.
You too. Ginny Wright Peterson is the author, as I mentioned, of a book called A Woman's War II, Women at Work During World War II. She joined us this morning as our guest on Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.